As soon as people started asking me Hanukkah shaylas, I realized Hanukkah must be coming soon. So I decided maybe Tuesday night we'll do a Hanukkah shiur. But we try to do things that are related to recent Avyomi, so we have to pick a Hanukkah topic that somehow relates to recent Avyomi. How does this relate to recent Avyomi? So first of all, what is the topic? The topic we're going to discuss tonight is Chashad and Marasayin as it relates to Ner Hanukkah. About 2 years ago, I think you invited me to give a shiur in Or Torah on Thanksgiving, and I gave a shiur on the topic of Chashad and Marasayin as it relates to Ner Hanukkah. That's a different shiur. This is not the same shiur as that one. I went back, looked at my notes, and tried to come up with different things relating to Chashad and Marasayin and Ner Hanukkah, so no repeats. But although Chazar wouldn't be so terrible, I had forgotten almost the whole shiur. It was good to go over it a little bit. But the, if I forgot it, I assume others might have. The Gemara Masechta Sota tells us that when the woman drinks the Meisota, so it could have one of three results can occur. Either if she's guilty and she has no zuchus to be tola, so it will immediately have an extraordinarily negative impact on her health and she'll die pretty much on the spot. If she is guilty but she has zuchus tola, so then she'll slowly deteriorate over time until the point where she where she'll ultimately die, but it won't happen in the moment. And then you have a situation where she's innocent. And the Gemara tells us, Shem Haisa Yoledes Bitsar, Yoledes Berevach, if she previously had Tsar in her Leda, now she's going to give birth easily. Nekevos Yoledes Acharim, Kitsarim Yoledes Aruchim, Shcharim Yoledes. So maybe she's going to have better children, more healthy children, more robust children, according to one opinion. Even if she didn't have children, now she'll be able to have children. She'll have more of she'll have a healthier appearance, according to the way the Rambam describes it. So this is all going to happen as a bracha for being innocent when she drinks the Meisota. So Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, it's quoted by the Panini Alach section of the Masifta, but Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, Migdal Oz, base Midos, in Aliyas Hadan Lekav Schus, asked the Kasha, he says, I don't understand. This Sota, if it turns out that she was innocent from cheating on her husband, from being tummy with another guy, from being with another guy, she at least violated Nisr Daraisa of the Yisim Nikiyim. She at least violated Nisr of being suspect of an Isser. So why is it that she should receive schar? She did something terrible. She did something, she caused suspicion. She brought suspicion upon herself. That's generally a terrible thing. How could it be that she gets schar for such a thing? So that's a kasher Rabbi Yaakov Emdin asks. So it relates to this issue that a person has a requirement not to be suspected of wrongdoing. And in Rabbi Yaakov Emdin suggests that the reason she gets schar is not because Eino El Mishum Shechashto Sabadavar She'ein Ba. The reason she gets schar is only because they were choshir of something that she wasn't guilty of. And I'm sorry, that's the kasha. He says to be miyashiv. He says because she already suffered a great deal by going through the whole ordeal of the sota. Since she already suffered a great deal, that itself is the kapara for the avera. So memela, she's now open to get schar because she's already been mischaper for the avera. Or he suggests it could be that when she was going in the room alone with that man, she was having kavana letova in order that she should be able to have children, in order that she should be able to produce healthy children, and if that was her kavana, that she was thinking Latova, so then maybe it's not, that would outweigh the concern that she's violating the Yisim Nikiyim, or other possibilities as well that are suggested to answer that question. So I thought maybe we can go back and discuss this sugya, this topic of Yisim Nikiyim, but specifically as it relates to Ner Chanukah, then more broadly, and then we'll bring it back to more specifically. So where does it start in the sugya of Ner Chanukah? So in the second parak of Masech Shabbos, parak Bam Madlik, and the Gemara tells us, Amar Rafuna, source number one, Chatzar Sheyesh La Shnei Pesachim. If you have a chatzar that happens to have two entrances to the chatzar, tzricha shtei neros, you need a ner by each one. Even if there's only one family that lives in that chatzar, each Pesach needs its own ner. Amar Rava, lo amaran elam ishtei ruchos, avon miruach achas lo tzarech. the two entranceways only each need their own ner if they are in two different directions. But if it's all miruach achas, if it's all on one side of the chatzer, then you don't really need two neros, just light by one of the entranceways, and that would be fine. So the Gemara says, my taima, what's the reason? If you're going to say the reason is chashad, that people are going to pass by and they're going to think that you didn't light ner Chanukah. So the Gemara starts hashing out who's going to be choshev. Is it people who are familiar with the setup of the chatzer, who are from your town and know how many families live there? Or is it people from out of town who are not familiar with the setup of the chatzer? And ultimately the Gemara says, we're talking about people who are familiar with the setup of your chatzer, and they know that only one person lives there, but the two doorways are actually on two different sides of the on two different sides, meaning the your chatzer meets at a corner, so there are two doorways that are around the corner from each other. So someone might be passing by on one street, but he's not going to make the turn into your block and pass by the other doorway. So he's going to see that one of your doorways doesn't have a Ner Chanukah. He's going to think you didn't light Ner Chanukah at all, and that's not a good thing. You shouldn't have people thinking that you never lit Ner Chanukah at all. So says the Gemara, Umina Teimra Dechashin and Lechashad. Where do we know that we're choshish for such things, that we worry about chashad? About three lines before the end of source number one, Ditanya, because we have a brisa. There are four reasons that one is supposed to leave peya at the end of the field. Peya is the corner you have to leave off for the aniyim to take. Four reasons that you have to leave it besof sadeu. Mipnei gezel aniyim, umipnei bitel aniyim, and for our purposes, the most important, umipnei chashad. We don't want people to think that, as the Gemara goes on to elaborate, shalo you overin v'shavin omrim tov amer ladam shalo niach peya v'sadeu. If you don't leave peya by the end of your field, people aren't going to see the peya, it's not going to be easily recognizable, and they're going to walk by and they're going to say, oh, what a horrible human being that is. He keeps everything for himself, doesn't give anything to the aniyim. You could have given a lot to the aniyim, but they're not going to know. So that's something that's a violation on the balabayis, the balasadeh, for making people think that. So you see from this Gemara that everyone has to be very careful about what they do, not to be chashad on a dvar avera, or not to be chashad as someone who's not mekayim a mitzvah properly. And very often people are of the attitude that I don't care what other people think. It doesn't matter to me what other people think about me. That's not a Jewish attitude. It's that we shouldn't live our entire lives based solely on what other people think about us. We live our lives based on Avodas Hashem, but part of Avodas Hashem is to have a proper reputation, is to make sure that we have a reputation where people realize that we are Shomri Torah Mitzvos, and not to bring suspicion upon ourselves. Another example where we see this concern of chashad is the Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Shkalim. The Mishnah tells us, "Eina torim nichnas lo b'paril chafos lo b'minav lo b'sandal." The Mishnah tells us it's in the second line over here in the passage in source number two, "Velo b'tfilin velo b'kameya shemaye ani v'yomru me'avon alishcha he'ani." That we're afraid if you go in with anything into the lishcha where they kept the shkalim, where they kept all the money, if you go in with any place that you could possibly hide money, any pockets, anything like that, where any hems in your clothing, where you could possibly hide money, so whatever happens to you, people are going to assume it has something to do with your trips, with your handling, with your being alone with all that money. If a person becomes poor, everyone's going to say, oh, he probably stole and Hashem's getting back at him for stealing, so Hashem made him poor. And if you become rich, they're going to say, oh, no wonder he's rich, he's been stealing the whole time from the lishcha. Lufisha Adam Tsarich Lotse Sidei Abrios, Kederich Shat Tsarich Lotse Sidei Amakom. A person has to be Yotse Yedei Abrios the same way he has to be Yotse Yedei Amakom. How do I know that? Shenemar Pasuk says, V'yisim Nikim Me Hashem Umi Yisrael. That a person has to be Naki not only from Hashem, but from his fellow Jews as well. V'omer Amatzachain V'sechotov Bein Elokim. The Adam, that a person has to be righteous in the eyes of God and in the eyes of his fellow man. So that's both of these Gemaras, Shabbos Chav Gimel and the Mishnah and Maseches Shkalim, seem to highlight the same basic idea, that you shouldn't cause other people to suspect you of wrongdoing. Not that anybody is going to learn from you. No one is going to say, oh, if that guy went into the lishcha and he had pockets and he had hems and he probably stole, so it must be that it's mutter to steal. No, we don't think anyone's going to think it's mutter to steal. We don't think anyone's going to walk by your house when there's no ner Chanukah by one of the doorways and say,
oh, I didn't know there's no real such mitzvah as Ner Chanukah. Chabad was wrong all this time. They're lighting every... there's really no such thing. Unbelievable. Look, he didn't have it lit. So, no, we don't think anyone's going to think that. What do we think is going to happen? We think that they're going to say, of course there's such a mitzvah, and this guy is being a bad Jew. He's not doing the mitzvah that he's supposed to do. That's what seems to emerge from both Shabbos Chaf Gimel and the Mishnah Masech Shkalim. However, there seems to be another reason that a person has to be exceedingly careful in these areas, and that is that other people might see and might learn and might think that which is aser is really mutter. The Gemara in Masech Shkalim, Mishnah really in Chulin Daf Mem Aleph and Beis tells us Hashochet L'Shem Olah, if a person shechs chulin bachutz L'shem karbonola, the shechitas pasul, says Rashi, de kivan de ba b'neder b'nedava, since an ola can be brought as a neder b'nedava, haroa omer achshav hu makdish, v'shochto li ola, v'kachem b'chutz mutarim. People are going to think it must be that the guy was makdish that animal, and he was bringing it l'shem ola, and that it's mutter to do that. Meaning people aren't all that familiar with all the details of the dinim of kachim. So people might think that the guy was makdish an animal and brought up a chutz, and that's okay. So that's why we say that Rabbanim made there it's possible to bring even a behemoth chulin l'shem ola l'chutz because it's going to lead people to think that something that's usher is in fact mutter. Similarly, the Gemara Maseches Krisos Chafal from Beis Amar Rav Dam Dagim Shekanso Aser. If you have a Shekinsu Aser, if you have blood of fish that you gather together in a cup or in a bowl and you want to drink the blood of the fish, people won't necessarily recognize immediately that it's blood of a fish, and therefore it's Aser to drink it. Says Rashi, why? Demichlif Bedam Behema. People are going to see that, oh, at your house you have blood parties, you drink blood, you have shots of blood, and they're not going to realize that it's totally normal because it's fish blood. They're going to think that it's very unusual, and that it's, well, unusual maybe, but that it's very forbidden, that you're having blood of a behema. People are going to think, oh, I guess eating blood is not such a big deal, it's not such an iser. After all, you know, I have meat that's cooked rare sometimes, and it looks like it's bleeding. Rav Willig Shlita once explained to me, when we were learning chulin, he said, no, all that red stuff you see in the meat, that's not blood, that's meat juice. There's a difference. He said, once you did melicha, there's no more blood. Now you only have meat juice. That's what the halacha defines it as. The halacha defines it. It's not his own, that's what the lush on the post can use. So the halacha no longer defines it as blood. The halacha defines it as, so, but people don't realize that. You know, to me, it looks like people say, you know, when they order a steak, that if they like it rare, they say, I want it to be bleeding. I want it to, so they call it blood. So people might think that dam behema, they may not realize that there's such an issue called dam. So two totally separate isurim over here. One isur that you don't want people to think that you're doing something wrong. Second, that we don't want them to do something wrong. Now, l'chora. So where's the isur in the Torah for either one of these things? Meaning, what's so bad about other people thinking that something that's asr is mutter? Why is it wrong for me to give the impression that something that's asr is really mutter? And people are going to think you're allowed to eat tam. I know that they're not allowed to eat tam. I know that. But how do I know that I'm not allowed to give the impression that they are allowed to eat tam, where they might learn to eat tam? So this is probably just based on, very simply, lifnei iver l'sitein michshol, that anything you do to encourage other people to do an aveira, this is an offshoot of lifnei iver l'sitein michshol. What about the issue of causing people to think poorly of me? They're not going to do any iser. They're not drinking blood. They're just going to think poorly of me. What's that iser? So Pashtus is, that's an iser of Lashon Hara. That's an iser of Lashon Hara. That they're going to, just like they're going to, just like you're not allowed to speak poorly of other people, you're not allowed to speak badly of other people, so you shouldn't be choshed other people. You shouldn't think of other people as avaryanim. In fact, Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav, on page Kuf Nun, in Nefesh HaRav, you know, the famous story of the Chavetz Chaim, that he was traveling on the train, and he was incognito, so to speak, and there weren't that many pictures around of the Chavetz Chaim, and the person that was sitting next to him didn't know who he was, and he was saying, oh, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Radin. So the guy said, oh, do you know the great tzaddik, the Chavetz Chaim? And he said,
not such a great tzaddik, and he downplayed the godless of the Chafetz Chaim to the point where different versions of the story of exactly what the guy did to the Chafetz Chaim. He slapped him, he berated him, he did something, and then when they got to Radin and they saw that everyone was greeting him as the Chafetz Chaim, the guy felt terrible, the guy felt embarrassed, and the Chafetz Chaim said to him, you know, you taught me a new halacha. I knew everything there is to know about Lashon Hara, but apparently it's also to speak Lashon Hara about yourself as well. So Rav Shechter writes, when Rav Salvechik heard this story, he said that Bepashtus, it's a hard story to understand, because how could the Chafetz Chaim not have known that before? Meaning it's Bepashtus, that's the violation of Maris Ayin, that your person doesn't have a bailus over his own good name, and you and it's a violation of Lashon Hara when you sully your own good name. Right, so that's the possible. The question is, like, is that a mitzvah? Do we find like that's a halachic imperative? So yeah, this is the halachic imperative, but it's probably closely associated with the idea. I mean, the idea behind it is closely associated with the idea of Lashon Hara. Sefer Chassidim suggests another idea. He says that a person can cause other people to be choshed him, also almost like a lifnei iver issue, but not that you're going to cause them to violate an avera by being choshed b'ksherim, which may be part of it, but choshed b'ksherim aloka b'gufo. There are terrible punishments for being choshed b'ksherim. So if you're taka akasher, but you're causing other people to be choshed you, so then it's a very bad thing. You're causing them all sorts of tzar and all sorts of pain, and you don't want to cause other people all sorts of pain. So that's the basic idea of these two elements of causing other people to be suspicious of you versus causing other people to perhaps do averus. So in the Sefer Chesed Avram, and all this I got from Rav Yonatan Sachs in the Sefer Yemei Chanukah, so in the Sefer Chesed Avram, he writes that he got a ksavyad from the Chavos Das, from the author of the Nesivos, and he says, Ubim remiza bialma yared l'tachlis habir b'zeh. This is source number 9. He said, with just remiza bialma, he sort of explains this distinction very carefully. He says, ki chashadu umaris ayin shnei in yanim nefradim heim, ruchokim zemizeh. Chashad and maris ayin are actually two separate things, and they're very far apart from each other. They're not at all the same. And there are different rules, halachically. They're governed by a different set of halachos. The Gemara in Masechet Beis Daftas says that something that's asur mishmar sa'ayin is afil b'chadri chadarim. Something that Chazal asur mishmar sa'ayin, even if nobody's looking, it's asur to do. Why? Why would it be asur to do even if nobody's looking? So he's going to explain. Ubedavar shagazur mishum chashada b'tzin ashari. But if the concern is only chashad, that they're going to think that you're a bad guy, so then b'tzino it's mutter. Val karchuch to maris ha'ayin, so he says, so what's the chilk? So he says, maris ha'ayin must be b'dover shenira be'inei ha'olam l'isur baru. Maris ha'ayin must be something that people are going to look at, and no one in their right mind is going to think that's mutter. Everyone's just going to think that you're violating the isur. Everyone knows it's an isur. V'lchein gazru af b'chadrei chadarim d'kol sheyodei l'shem adam b'olam yeh mi sheyeh v'hol v'ro shos isur bar v'ika marasayin. And that's why it's us even b'chadrei chadarim, because b'chadrei chadarim you may think you're alone, but you're never totally alone. There always might be one person who sees you. Well, if you have something that's an isur bar, something that clearly the whole world knows is a problem, and that's what they're going to be choshed you in, well, that's what he defines as Maris Ha'ayin. That's Asr even B'chadrei Chadarim, because even if just one person sees, he's going to already think that you're doing that Avera. So he's not going to be down the Kapschus, he's going to assume that you're doing the Avera. V'lchein gam b'rabim shayich ha'shada t'mamol ma'sheim rabim v'lo chashidi imi isr nira bar ve'enav. And he says, and certainly, even if you have a large group of people doing it, it would be a problem, because everyone knows that this action is Asr. No one's going to get the impression that this action is Mutir. He says chashad is something that people aren't certain about, whether it's us or whether it's mutter. V'im osa kein b'faresya yimtzu anashim sheyachshdu b'ksherim sha'osa iser. So if you were to do something that people aren't certain about publicly, and you have 100 sets of eyes on you, well then some of them are going to be choshed b'ksherim, some of them are going to think you're doing something wrong. Not all of the sets of eyes that are watching you are going to assume the best. And that's why it's asr to do publicly. But b'tzina,
it's going to be mutter. Because betzina, what? At most, you have one person watching you. Ah, that's not such a big deal. That's because that one person, it's a davar hashakul, he might think the best anyway. He might not think that you're doing the avera anyhow. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. He'll think that what you're doing in the mutter way. And that's why if you have a group of people, then we're not going to be concerned, because if a whole group of people is doing it, no one's going to think that the whole group is doing an avera. They'll be told the heter. They'll assume that everyone is doing the right thing. It's an interesting idea. We're used to thinking that when the Gemara says that afil b'chadri chadar means even if nobody is watching you. But the assumption that Chavos Das has is that afil b'chadri chadar means probably one person is watching you. I was just talking to Rav Shachter the other week, and he mentioned that there used to be a guy from, who was a big Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael, who had a relative who was going through some major medical issues, who was living in New York for a while, for a few months, and he said that there was an old almana in his building who said, after this guy moved out, this old almana said to Rav Shachter, you know that guy that was living here? He said, yeah, he's a big Talmud Chacham. She said, yeah, he's a Mechal Shabbos. So he said, what are you talking about, Mechal Shabbos? He's a very big Talmud Chacham, you know, what kind of reputation he has, so she said, no, I saw, because he was in the apartment above me, and I was able to see in the reflection off the windows across the street, I was able to see off the reflection that the lights were turning on and off in his apartment. And it was, he said it was Yantif, it was Sukkot. And I saw that he was turning on his lights on and off on Yantif. So Shach said, might it have been Yom Tov Sheni? You know, and he's Ben Eretz Yisrael. He said, oh, Taka, that could have been. It could be that it was Yom Tov Sheni. Now, what was he doing? He was Yom Tov Sheni. He figures he's Ben Eretz Yisrael. No one's watching. It's completely in private. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that even completely in private, Ben Eretz Yisrael should be careful not to do malacha, because you never know when you're completely in private. So Rav Shach said, when he told this to Rabbi Charlap, he got all excited. He said, yeah, the Mishnah Berurah knew what he was talking about. The Mishnah Berurah, right, that a person should never think that you're all alone. He's going to be choshed that the downstairs neighbor sees out the window, you know, the reflection of the window across the street, because there's one Yenta Almana who's going to see everything that's going on. Yeah, you never know. There's always going to be that one person. But he also flips Marasayin and Chashav a little bit. He seems to be flipping in the opposite direction. So the Sefer Chesal Avram says, that's what I saw. He says, Divrei Pi Chacham Chaim, it's a very brilliant idea. But he says, I think we need to be Mosif Tavlin. If you look in the third paragraph, he says, Demarasayin Hainu B'davar Shanir Be'ine Olam Laheter Uberosim Shaploni Osa Davar Zay Yilmudumi Menu Lahatir Davar Aser. So he says more what we would have thought. He says Maris Hayin is that someone is going to see what you're doing, and they're going to think that which is really Aser is Mutter. V'lachein Af Berabim Gazu. So where goes there even Berabim Tadraba Rosh Harabim Olsim Kenomer Devavadei Atera Kavdi. That's why where goes there even if it's a group of people that are doing it, because if they see a group of people doing it, then they're going to say, oh, then they're for sure doing something Mutter. But they're not going to realize that the way they plan on doing it is actually us. And the reason it's us even bechadri chadarim, dimyadua l'shum adam izeh yifarsim heter shalom nimaisahu. If anyone finds out about it, he's going to tell everyone, look, I found a heter that this guy does this. Masha'en ken heichidasu mishum chashada, as opposed to something that's chashad hainu b'davar shi'iz b'rush also b'ofen she'en lo tzad heter. That means people are going to look and they're going to think there is no mutter way to do this, and they're just going to think va'osi iser b'shat nefesh, that you're blatantly violating an iser. So we didn't have to be gozer barabim because no one is going to think that you would violate such terrible isur and b'mezid. So they'll assume you found some mutter way to do it. Because the guy who's doing it, when he's doing a betzina, would be very careful not to do it in front of people who are going to get the wrong impression and who are going to think that he's an avarian. So that's a little bit closer to the way we're used to thinking of this distinction. And in fact, Rav Moshe Netshuva pretty much makes this distinction as well. Not going to read through the whole Tshuva of Rav Moshe right now. Now,
The question then becomes, is there any other nafkamin, is there any nafkamin al-halacha between that which is asr, other than the one that we highlighted already, b'chadrei chadarim, between that which is asr mishum chashar and that which is asr mishum maris ha'ayin? So I don't know if I stuck it on the page here. I didn't. And with this, we're going to come back to Ner Chanukah a little bit. The crazy place in Simen Yud Gimel, in Hilchos Shechita, writes that a nafkamina between chashar and maris ha'ayin is that any time the chamor misakin something mishum chashad, you don't make a bracha on an action that you're doing just because you're trying to save yourself from chashad, you're trying to save yourself from suspicion. But something that's mishum maris ha'ayin, where it's not going to be suspicion, it's that you are doing this mitzvah, this action, because of maris ha'ayin, that people, not people are going to suspect you, but that people will get the wrong impression, you would make a bracha on maris ha'ayin. So what would that mean for Ner Chanukah in our case? Our case was, you have two doorways to your house, someone might pass by one, not pass by the other, and if they pass by the one that doesn't have a Ner Chanukah, they're going to assume you didn't light Ner Chanukah. So that would seem to be chashad, and according to the rules of the crazy place, it should therefore turn out that there should be no bracha on that second Ner Chanukah, which is an interesting idea, that there should be no bracha on that second Ner Chanukah. And in fact, if you look in the Ran, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yiram Lav, Padap Yarif, Dibra Maskalam Rav Huna, so the Ran writes, Mestavra, Dekivon Shenel Madlik, Ela Mishum Chashada, Lo Mevarich, Ela Achad Pischa. The whole thing is only because of Chashad. So you only make a bracha by one Pesach. You don't make a bracha when you're lighting by the second Pesach. Because why would you make a bracha on Chashad? However, if you look at the Rashba, Shuvas HaRashba, Chelek Alvesim, Tav Kuv Chav Hei, Sha'alta Od, Hada Amar Rava, Isa Sarnuna Chayevas Bechala, Mishum Delas Leikala, Im Chayev Levarech Al Afrashasa. When they were gozer because of Chashad, that you have to be Mafrish Chala, on dough that doesn't really belong to you, dough that you're giving to the non-Jewish people as a tax or whatever, that you still have to be mafresh chala on it because of chashad, would you say a bracha? So the Shaul says, Dinir she'enu chayev, kivin she'enu ele mishum haroin. I would think you shouldn't have to make a bracha because the only reason you're doing it, you're being mafresh chala, is because of people that are watching you. V'lomina dinda akas ariso sechem, not based on the pasuk that says that you chayev nafresh chala, because you're pater nafresh chala. It's not ariso sechem, it's not yours. But people will think, so I would think that it shouldn't get a bracha. So says the Rashba, kol she'etzricha cham lahafresh o lishchot, me'ezitam sha'amru mitzvah shal devrayim hi. We make brachas on mitzvahs drabanan. Why do we make brachas on mitzvahs drabanan? The Gemara asks this in Masechta Sukkadaf, Mendalad, Memhei, around there, and Masech Shabbos, and Ner Chanukah Sugya. Heichon Tzivanu, how can we say Asher Kishon Sosu Tzivanu on a mitzvah drabanan? And the Gemara says, well, no sasur, it says that you're not allowed to veer from what the rabbis tell you, and therefore you can make a bracha on a mitzvah drabanan. So what difference does it make whether the mitzvah drabanan is Mikra Megillah, or Ner Chanukah, or the mitzvah drabanan is when I'm mafresh challah from something that really on a daraisa level, I'm patur be mafresh challah, or I do shchit on a ben pakua, on a baby that came out of its mother when I shechted the mother, and the baby was inside the mother's womb, and it's walking around right now, that I do shchit on it, even though midaraisa, I don't have to do shchit on it, because marasayim, it's going to look bad. So says the Rashba, it's a mitzvah drabanan, mela mitzvah drabanan. You always say a bracha on. That's how the Rashba writes, that you would make a bracha. In Rabbi Kiviger's Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Shechita, he quotes from the Tshuvas B'Samim Rosh. The B'Samim Rosh is famously a forgery of the Rosh, but whoever wrote it knew a lot. So wherever it actually came from, I think the Chassam Sofer, they say, was one of the early adapters. He was one of the first ones to chap that it was a forgery. So he used to refer to it as the Kizve HaRosh. They normally refer to something as a Kisve. He referred to it as a Kizve HaRosh, the lies of the Rush. So, because the Rush didn't really write it, but the Rebbe Kiviger quotes the Tshuvas B'Samim. Rebbe Kiviger was the Chassam Sofer's father-in-law. He quotes the Tshuvas B'Samim Rosh that you don't make a shchit on a ben, you don't make a bracha on shchitas ben pakua, on the shchit of such an animal. And he writes where the Shulchan Aruch says that a ben pakua that walks on the karka requires shchita. He says ulinya bracha. The Tzvor Shor quotes the Tshuvas Harashba de Mevarchim, but in the B'Samim Rosh he says ein levarich. So you have this machlokas whether you say such a bracha. Prichadash takes as a davar pashut that you would make a bracha on the shchita of a ben pakua. Because Prichadish writes, when the Shulchan Aruch says that if the baby is walking on the ground, that it requires shechita, but other trefos, lo osos, so wouldn't ask it. Meaning, if let's say the baby was found to be a trefa, you would still be allowed to eat it, because it was covered already inside the mother. It was like a part of a limb of the mother. So even though we require shechita, we don't really require all the kosher laws on the baby. So the Pri Chadosh writes, Ratzolomar, trefos she'enu machmas shechita. What kinds of halachos are we mekel with? Those trefos that don't come as a result of shechita, lo mefarsim kliyah, because no one will know about them. No one will know if you found a hole in the lung or you didn't find a hole in the lung. Avol trefos shumachma shechita, kol sha'asa echad mechamisha dvar mamsina shechita chiyotze. But if the trefa came about because of the shechita, then ki'ilu lo shachatami, then it's like you never did a shechita. Dekivet shesrichu shechita by shechita malisa. Once you need to do a shechita, you gotta do it right. And even b'diavad shechitas psula, aval das harash b'lishem b'toras avayi shafilu hichlir odaras mutter, v'cheinim shaftu b'sakin p'kuma, l'fi she'in aroi yodeh azeh. But the Rashba says that he doesn't think that that all the details need to be right. So says the Pri Chadosh, this machlokas, do all of the details of the shechita of a ben pakua have to be just so, have to be just like a regular shechita or not? He says, I think it's enough kamina la'alacha, would you make a bracha on such a shechita? Because if you hold that the shechita needs to be exactly like a regular shechita, it has to be every bit as good as a regular shechita, so then you should make a bracha on such a shechita. It's a mitzvah drabanan, you make a bracha on a mitzvah drabanan. But according to the Rashba, that you don't, that not everything has to be exactly, if you're a hechlid, if whatever the psule shechita are, it's still going to be okay. So in the chari, you shouldn't make a bracha, because it's not like, you don't keep all the dine shechita by such an animal. However, he says, my problem is, I found that the Rashba writes that you do make a bracha on a shechita of ben pakua, so I don't know what to do. I thought that the Rashba should say, that logically you should say, if it doesn't have to be a proper shechita, so you shouldn't make a bracha, because it doesn't require a shechita. But then I found the Rashba writes a version shuv, and it does require a bracha. So he says, maybe the logic of the Rashba is, v'efshar shatayim odikim the mitzvah lishchot midrabanan, lafukei nichur v'ikur, tafli didei lo mahani, since we do require something, the Rabbanan aren't requiring exactly what Shechita should require on a Daraisa level, but they don't let you just take in a knife and stab it, they don't let you shoot the animal, they do require something that approximates a Shechita. So since there is some requirement mid Rabbanan, there needs to be a bracha. And anyway, he says, we paskin like the shechita of the Rosh and the Ran and other poskim, that you need a shechita ma'alya, and anything that paskin that shechita would paskin, anything that paskin any other shechita would paskin that shechita. So he says, then it would be pashut anyway, that you would make a bracha. And he says, delo kidemashmim divrei Ran perak bam madlikin gabi chatzir sheyesh shnei pesachim. Not like what the Ran says when it comes to Ner Chanukah, that is, since you're only lighting mishum chashad, don't worry about it, you don't need to make a bracha. Not like that Ran. He says the shechita of the ben pakur should require a bracha because the Rabbanan required. If the Rabbanan required, it's a mitzvah 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 Rabbanan gets a bracha. So what do we do for the Ran? Is there any way to make the Ran work with this whole analysis that the Ran says by Ner Chanukah you don't need to make a bracha on the second lighting, but over here by the shechita you do? So the Rabbi Yonis Neipschitz writes that there's a difference, what it boils down to is the difference between chashad and maris ha'ayin. Says the Rashba in the Tshuva, says you make a bracha on the shechit of ben pakua, like every mitzvah drabanan. And then Prichad says, aye, but what about the Ran, Bab Madlikin, where with the Ner Chanukah? He says, the Ran says you don't make a bracha because it's only an issue of chashad. When the issue is one of chashad, that they're going to be choshed you, that's where you don't make a bracha. But by the shechit of the ben pakua, it's not an issue of chashad. It's not that someone is going to be choshed, someone's going to think that that things don't require shechita. Someone's going to think that you could just kill an animal and eat it. So that's an issue of maris ha'ayin. By an issue of maris ha'ayin, you would say a bracha. That's what Rabbi Yonah Snapshot says, to answer up how these rishonim can fit with each other.
Why chashad? You wouldn't say
So chashad, the way Rabbi Yonah Snapshot seems to understand it is that when they were misaking something with Mishum Maris Ha'ayin, it becomes a mitzvah.
meaning that now becomes part of the halacha. The mitzvah is not avoid suspicion. The mitzvah is do this action. As opposed to chashad, the inyan of chashad is v'yisim nekiyim. Meaning every time you're avoiding chashad, you're not fulfilling that particular mitzvah, you're fulfilling v'yisim nekiyim. So as long as you stay naki, then you're okay. But it's not that this action is a mitzvah. Whereas when they're masaking something, mishumar sa'ayin, then this action itself becomes a mitzvah. That would explain why called over shos mishumar sa'ayin afil b'chadre chadarim. Why b'chadre chadarim? No one's watching me. So okay, you want to say someone might be watching me, like we said before, but pashtus says no one's watching me. So why do I have to keep it? Because it became the mitzvah. That became the halacha. So melech, if that's the halacha, so then I can't do it even b'chadre chadarim, because that became part of the halachic system. As opposed to something that's only chashad, I just have to avoid suspicion. So I close the door, I lock it, make sure there are no windows, and no one could see me, and there's no old lady that lives downstairs that's watching. So good, so then I've avoided chashad. So that's probably the lamdas. Okay, so let's take that for granted. You have the Ner Chanukah, you have the two doorways, and one of the doorways you have, and one of the doorways, You're lighting Ner Chanukah only because of chashad. So you're not saying a bracha. Good? Now, it happens to be, by the way, just to mention parenthetically, that there is a third shita. The Kolba writes that you wouldn't say a bracha, but not because it doesn't require a bracha. It is part of the mitzvah, but you won't say a bracha because just like if you have to be bodek chametz in five different houses, you say a bracha in one, and then you go from one to the other. So too over here, you have to be madlik Ner Chanukah in two different places. Say a bracha in one, and then just light to the other. With obvious nafkaminas. Well, what if you didn't say a bracha on the first one? So according to the Kolba, you would still say a bracha on the second one. According to the Ran, no, you wouldn't, because you already got the mitzvah. It's too late to say a bracha on the second one. So there are plenty of nafkaminas in terms of that. But, so I lit mishum chashad, I didn't say a bracha. Someone passes by in the street, and they're not lighting their Chanukah that night. Do they make a Birchas HaRoah? Do they make a Shas HaNisim? Meaning the halacha is you're supposed to make a Birchas HaRoah on the Chafetz of Ner Chanukah, right? What? How would they possibly know? Meaning the very fact that we're misaking a Birchas HaRoah, how does that shtim with lighting some candles that are only Mishum Chashad? They're not going to know what is and what isn't an actual Ner Chanukah. It's a real problem. So how do we reconcile?
Is there a chashad that people think they light a light without a bracha?
Is there a chashad that people? What do you mean?
Because if you light on one side, people don't know that you made a bracha on the other side. So seeing you light, you don't make a bracha.
So there is such a svara that people that maybe you should make a bracha just because that goof is the chashad that you should make it look real. It has to look real. But still, Avul Dikin, that shouldn't help the roa. So he wasn't really roa in Ner Chanukah. He thought he was roa in Ner Chanukah. Mashallah, you see the Chabad lighting in the public. So okay, so whatever they rely on, whatever shita they hold of, that they're allowed to make brachas on it, fine. But let's assume like most poskim assume, which is it's a bracha levatala, I would imagine, right? I think most poskim assume that it's not hadlaka besa knesses, which is a special takana of hadlaka besa knesses. It's certainly not in anyone's bias, so it'd be a bracha levatala. So can you make shas anisim when you see when you go into a park or into a public into Times Square and you see a Ner Chanukah lit? Pashtus is not. If it's not a ner shel mitzvah, you can't make a bracha. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Mincha Shlomo in Chelik Beis in Minchas Os Mem Gimel writes, how could it be that you can make a brich sari'i al a ner? Shouldn't you have to be worried that maybe that's the ner that was lit mishum chashad? So he says, even if you're not going to make a bracha on a ner that's lit mishum chashad, you don't have to be choshesh, because holch nacha rov neros Chanukah are not the one that was lit mishum chashad. So mistama, it's mishum ner Chanukah. But then he says, ach yosem nirlani as daiti, de'ein zed domel beis haknesses shlo nisker klal begemara v'kulim yodim v'nikar adavar she'in yotzen b'kach mitzvah sadaka. See, you can't make a birchas haroah on the hadaka beis haknesses because everyone knows that that's not a ner Chanukah. Mashe, I mean, everyone knows that's a special takanam yuchedes just for beis haknesses. It's not really a ner Chanukah. Mashe ein came b'ner shel chashad, kiven shechayiv b'kach shelo yehei olav chashad v'kulim yechashu shezeh l'mitzvah efshar shapir l'horus l'varich hazeh sha'as nisim ki zeh be'emes maski. He says it could be that the takana of chashad is such a strong takana that we even allow a birch saroa on it. It's stronger than adaka beis haknesses, because adaka beis haknesses is not supposed to look like regular ner Chanukah.
But Hadlaka Mishum Chashad is supposed to look like regular Ner Chanukah. Rav Moshe discusses Hadlaka Beis HaKnesses and whether you would make a Birch Saroa on that. So that Rav Moshe, I'm not going to get into that now. There's one more thing I wanted to get to. So we'll leave out Rav Moshe. Rav Avadia discusses that as well. Now, there is a machlokas in the Gemara Shabbos Chaf Aleph and Beis. Kavsa Zakukla or Kavsa Ein Zakukla? The Neros, you lit the Neros properly. They burn out. Do you have to relight them or do you not have to relight them? Let's assume for a moment like the Shita Kavsa Ein Zakukla. What about Chashad? People are going to walk by during this Zman Hadlak, during this Zman when Neros Chanukah is supposed to be lit, they're going to see that there's no Neros Chanukah there. How do you avoid the problem of Chashad?
Exactly.
Oh, good. So you're assuming that you need a menorah, which is a whole other shir, whether you need a menorah or could you just stick candles down on the, as Rav Shechter's story, that Rav Shechter was choshish for those shittas and poskim, that you need an actual kli, and that to take candles and, you know, let's say take wax candles and put them on a piece of foil and just, you know, attach them like that would not be good. And he mentioned that in his shir. And when Rav Soloveitchik was still alive, was still in YU, and someone was helping Rav Soloveitchik out, and Rav Soloveitchik forgot his menorah in Boston, so he just took candles and he stuck it down on a piece of foil. And someone said, Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know why someone would say this, but someone said, Rav Soloveitchik, I think Rav Shechter said you're not allowed to do that. And Rav Soloveitchik said, who said it? Shechter said. He said, tell Shechter he's crazy. So if you look in Nefesh HaRav, so Rav Shechter quotes that Shita in Poskim, which is many, many Poskim hold that way, and he says, and Rabbeinu Hikbid Ma'od, something like that. He had such a lashon. Rav Soloveitchik was very, very upset about this idea. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't hold it. But you're assuming that there is, and that is how some of the Achronim deal with it. Some of the Achronim say, in the Shvus Yaakov writes, that you'll still see the candles there, you'll still see the menorah, so that avoids the chashad. What I thought was interesting, though, was the Beis Halevi has his own answer, but we're not going to have time to get to it. But what I thought was interesting was Rav Shlomo Kluger's answer. In the Chachma Shlomo, the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, he writes that whenever something is Mishum Chashad alone, Chashad never requires you to do something brand new. Chashad requires you, once you're doing something, to add something more, to do a little bit more. You're lighting Ner Chanukah already, so light by the other doorway as well. That's what Chashad will require. But they were never misakin Mishum Chashad to do something that you weren't already doing. What's the other example of Chashad? We have two Gemaras. We have the case of Ner Chanukah, and the other one was a Mishnah in Shkalim. In the Gemara itself, what do we have? By Peah. By Peah, that anyway you're leaving Peah. So you might as well leave it at the end of the field, and that way you'll avoid Chashad. Anyway you're going into by Shkolim, anyway you're going into the Lishcha, so you might as well not wear anything with pockets or anything with hems to avoid Chashad. But to do a new Maisa that's not attached to anything else, we were never goes there Mishum Chashad alone. That's what Shlomo Kluger suggests in Chachma Shlomo on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Now,
how does that solve a person walking by?
For the person walking by, it doesn't solve. But Chazal weren't worried about that. Chazal didn't require you to take care of every person that might suspect you. Chazal said, once you're lighting Ner Chanukah anyway, you might as well avoid suspicion. But we're not going to make you go crazy to avoid suspicion. So only once you're doing it anyway, you might as well avoid suspicion. Okay, there's another Hari here. You take a look at the Mekorei Kodesh. It's a very interesting thing. And, okay.